Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf, Gittin Nunches. We begin 10 lines from the top of the Amud, B'nei Tzion Hayekarim, Hamasuloim Bapoz, a pasuk in Eicha, describing the beauty, praising the residents of Tzion, of Yerushalayim, prior to the Churban Beis HaMikdash. HaMasoloim Bapaz. What does that mean? My Masoloim Bapaz. Ilema. Does it mean they have a Mechapi Bapiza? They were dressed in Pisa. Paz. Pisa is a very precious type of gold. And they would be adorned. They would wear jewelry of Paz. Is that so? Va'amrit Ve Rabbi Shila. So we're basically praising the Bnei Yerushalayim because of their possessions, because they possessed an abundance of paz, which was plentiful in Yerushalayim. But it's not so. Va'amri dvei Rabbi Shila in the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Shila, they would say that tarti maskali, there were two measures, istari pizza. So istari are coins of this Pisa gold, two mishkalos, two weights, two amounts basically, of golden coins, nachos ba'alma, came into the world, chada b'Rome, v'chada b'kuli alma. One amount is to be found in Rome, and an equal amount is dispersed throughout the entire world, which indicates that in Rome they had more of this material than anywhere in the world. So how can we praise Yerushalayim on account of the paz metals found there? Rather, says the Gemara, Elo shahayu meganin asa paz b'yafyan. The Bnei Tzion was so beautiful. Musuloim, says Rashi, is Lashon Seilu L'Roichev, that it describes their shvach, their praise, that they were more praiseworthy than Paz. They were Megane Esa Paz B'Yafyan. They would negate the beauty of this Paz because they were way more beautiful. And Paz was nothing compared to the beauty of Bnei Yerushalayim. Says the Gemara, Mi'ikara, initially, here we're describing the beauty of Bnei Yisrael. So initially, before the Churban, Chashivit d'Raymai, the important people in Rome, Habu Nakti, B'l'yoyna d'Gushpanka, in order for, if they would want to have beautiful children, they would take the signets and peer at the beautiful figures in their signets, umisham shi arsayu, and then engage with their wives so that their wives would peer at these images and they would bear children likewise. Mikan ve'ilach, but going forward, after the Churban, once they captured the beautiful children of Klal Yisrael, beautiful Bnei Tzion, Maisu Bnei Yisrael, they would take the people of Yerushalayim, Va'asri Bikari Depurayu, and they would tie them up to the legs of their beds, where they would engage with their wives, and Mashamshi, and there they would engage with their wives, opposite these forms, opposite the captives of Yisrael, in order to bear children like them. Am Lechad Lechavrei, one year turned to his friend, this terrible anguish that we're going through now, this terrible tzara, this degradation that we're being put through. What does it say in the Torah? Where is it hinted in the Torah? This will be, amongst the tzaras that we will experience. Amar lei, so he says, there's a pasuk about it. Gam kol choli v'kol makah shaloi kosa b'seva ha-Torah azois. The Torah itself indicates that there are things which are beyond what is written in the Torah, indicating that there are things really degrading and embarrassing, such as what we're going through now. Omar, so his friend responded, Kam Amar Chirikno Biduchta Plan. You know, I'm learning Chumash myself. Where am I in terms of how far am I away from that pasuk that you just quoted? Amrle Ingat, he said just a little bit. Pusta Opalga, page and a half. Amrle, he says, Imatoy Lagabe, if I would have gotten to that place, I wouldn't have needed your help. I would have seen it myself. Amr Ridamar Shmuel. Mishum Rabban Shim Gamliel. Ma'ayach said, what does the pasuk mean when it says, Eini oidolu lenafshim mikol b'nais iri? So Rav Shimon Liel is indicating that he was the sole survivor of all the children of his city, the great city of Beitar. It says the Gemara, Arba meis batik nesiyos ha'yibikrach Beitar. In fact, there were 400 shuls in Beitar, v'chalachas v'achas, and in each one, ha'yuba arba meis m'lam ditinekes. Each one featured 400 rabbis teaching children. Each one of these rabbis had 400 youngsters teaching, learning. Initially, when the enemy arrived, the children would poke them with their sticks. But when the enemy overpowered them, locked them, and conquered them, was victorious over the residents of Beitar, Korachim b'Sefreim b'Tisim b'Eish, they wrapped these children in their sfarim and they put them on fire. Tanu Rabbanim. Ma'aseh Rav Shua ben Chananya, there was a story involving Rav Shua she'alach l'Karach Gadol she'Beraimi, who visited this large city in Rome. Amrloi, they told him, Tinoik echad yesh b'Beis HaAsurim, you know there is a child, a youngster, inside prison. Yifei einayim v'toyi v'royi, good-looking child, beautiful eyes, ukvet soysov, and his hair, sturois le taltalim, are arranged in beautiful locks. Halach v'amad ha-pesach b'is ha-sur. So Yeshua went to the prison, and he's standing at the doorway, trying to figure out what this child's all about. Omar, so he began by reading a pasuk. Min nosan l'meshisa yakev. So Yeshua asks, using the words of the pasuk, who cast so much destruction on the Jewish people? Yisrael abhorred them and allowed Yisrael to be looted. So this was really half the pasuk. And he said it in a question form, hoping that the child will he'll respond in some way. Anna is a tinek. Sure enough, the child responds with the second part of that pasuk of Omar. It's all Hashem's doing because of our misbehavior. V'amar, halei Hashem zuchatanu loy, v'loy avu b'drachav, haleich, because we didn't go in his ways. V'loy shamu b'teirasai, we didn't listen to his Torah. Amar Rabbi Shua was impressed. He says, Mavtachani bay, I'm guaranteed in this boy, Shemayra HaRabbi Yisrael, he's going to end up being a leader, a pesik, in Klal Yisrael. Ha'avoida, aloshon of shvua, I swear, she'eini zaz mikan, I'm not leaving this place, at she'evdenu b'chal mamin she'peskin olav, I'm going to redeem him for any amount that they ask me. Amru, in fact, that's what happened. Leizaz Misham, he didn't leave the area until he paid the full ransom. And in fact, his prophecy came true. Not much time passed. In fact, his child became a leader. A Pesik Heiro'a. Umanayin, who was he? Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, the famous Kohen Gadol. Amru Bidam Rav. Ma'asad was a story, in fact, with his own children. Bivnei Yubita, Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, who was, of course, the Kohen Gadol, his own children went into captivity. Shenishbul shnei adonim. So his son was captured by one Roman and his daughter by the other. After some time, nizdavgu shnei makim echad. So both masters happened to encounter each other. They met at a certain place. Zaymer, so they were boasting. Zaymer, one of them was boasting, Yeshli Eved, well, I have some slave, wow, most beautiful slave. Shein ki yefi b'chloilem, most beautiful in the entire world. V'zaymer, and the other fellow says, Yeshli Shivcha, likewise, I have a maid servant, most beautiful. Shein b'chloilem kula ki yefi. Amru, okay, they decided, we'll make a match and split the offspring. Bayu, Bayu ben Asim Zelazel will marry them off to each other. V'nachak b'vladeis, and will split the offspring. Hichnisim lecheder, they inserted them into a room. Ze yashab bekeren zav zeh, so it's pitch dark in there. The boy, son of Rishmol, Elisha b'kain gadol, sitting on one corner. Vazu yashab bekeren zav zeh, and she's sitting in the other corner, the opposite corner of the room. and they refuse to budge. Zo'imani kohen ben kohanim gedolim. Look, I come from big kohanim, kohanim gedolim. It is below my dignity. I'm not allowed to marry a shivcha. Esa shivcha? No way. I can't marry a shivcha. And his sister on the other side of the room is saying the same thing. Ani kohenes bas kohanim gedolim. I'm a kohenes, daughter of kohanim gedolim, and asil eved. How could I even entertain the notion of marrying an eved? Ubacha kol alayla, and they will cry the entire night about their fate and the situation that they were put into. Kimish olam adashachar. As soon as daytime arrives and it gets light in the room, they recognize each other, brother, sister. And they fell on each other and started crying until they passed away. I cry. A reference to the brother and sister who cried and cried until they passed away. Omer Shlokish Masabisha Achas, was a story about a certain woman, a Jewish woman, Vitzafnas Bas Peniel Shma, who was called Safnas Bas Peniel. Why? Safnas is called Shakil, Seifen Byefya. Everybody would peer at her beauty. Bas Peniel, why was she called Bas Peniel? She was a daughter of a Kohen Gadol, Bito Shel Kohen Gadol, and he was called Peniel. Kohen Gadol is referred to as Peniel because he goes Lifnim. He goes to the inner chambers of the Beis HaMikdash. Kohen Gadol Shashimish was served Lifnai Lifnim. This unfortunate woman ended up in the hands of a Goyish, and this Alba Shavoy Kalaila, whole night the captor was abusing her with Machar. The next morning, Hilbisha Shevachalukim, he dresses up with 7 robes, Vayitziel Lemoichar, and takes her out to sell her as a maidservant. A very ugly man shows up, a potential customer. Amarle, he tells the seller, Harainias Yaifa, show me her beauty. Amarle, he tells him, Reka, empty head. Imataraitza, if you want. You want something good, Likach. If you want something, a nice woman, buy her. Sheinka Yaifa Bukhala Ilam Kula, I promise you. The biggest Yaifa you can find anywhere. Amarle, so the customer says, Afa Bikain, I insist, I want to see myself. Hivshita Shisha Halukum, so he undressed her 6 of the 7. Vishvi Karasai, when it came to the 7th, the closest to herself, he tore it. But then she dropped down to the floor, to the dirt. Amr lefanam, she turns to Hashem, Ribbono shel Olam, im aleinu lechast, if you're not protecting our honor, akdush Hashimcha, gibor lama letachus, at least protect your honor. V'aleh kainin Yirmiya, on her, Yirmiya lamented the pasuk, basami chigri sak, v'spalshi be'efer, because she dirtied herself in the efer. Evil yachad asiloch, mispetam reirim, a time for lamenting and crying. Ki pisoim yavei ashedid aleinu, suddenly the bandit comes on us, affecting us. Who's us? Alech alei lemar. It doesn't say alayach, just on you, the woman. It wasn't just an attack on the woman, an affront to the woman. Ela aleinu. The pasuk refers to you and me, in the name of Hashem, kaviyachal, so to speak, alay v'alayach. Ba'ashoydeid, he attacked you and me together, my honor and yours. Omar avidam arab maidach siv. What does the pasuk in Micha mean when it says "Va'ashku geveru beisav ishvanach losay"? So they totally disenfranchised a person. He lost his house, his family, everything. What exactly? What story? What incident is referenced in this pasuk? Another very unfortunate incident in the time of the churban beis hamikdash, where a person was totally disenfranchised, totally robbed from everything dear to him. It was an evil, wicked fellow, a student of a teacher, of a carpentry teacher. So he set his eyes on his master's, on his teacher's wife. He desired her. Vishulya de Nagri Hava. So he was a student of a Shulya de Nagri, a carpentry teacher. Okay, so that was his teacher, and he was a student. Hamachas. It so happens that one time, Hutzroch Rabbi Lulvais, his teacher needed to borrow some money. Amar Lohi, so the student had the available funds, he tells his teacher, Shager Ishtacha Etzli, you know what, when you get a chance, send your wife over, Velvena, I'll give her the money as a loan. Shiger Ishta Etzli. So he did as instructed, he sent his wife to pick up the money. Shah Etzli Shleisha Yam. She stayed with him 3 days. Kodom Ba Etzli. 3 days later, the teacher's wondering what happened to his wife. He comes looking for her. So he comes to the student's house. Amarlo, and he asks him, Ishti Shashigartiloch, Heichani, where's my wife that I sent to you? Amarlo, he says, what do you mean? I sent her right back. Ani patatri ala alta. As soon as I gave her the money, I sent her back. Vishamati, but I heard that she went through a terrible experience on the way back home. youngsters. Abused her and she cooperated with them. Omar Loi, so the husband tells the student, Ma Essa, give me some advice. Well, what am I supposed to do now? Omar Loi, he tells him, look, I only have one thing to tell you. Imata Shemeel Atsosi, you want to listen to my advice? Here it is. Gersha, divorce her. What do you need her for? She's not being loyal to you. Omar Loi, she says, but I have a problem. Ksubasim Baruba. The amount that I committed to her and the ksuba is very great. It's too much for me to bear. I can't afford it. So I can't divorce her. Omar Loi, she says, no problem. I'll take care of it for you. Ani Alvecha, I'll lend you the money for the ksuba. Betenu Ksubasa, and you can divorce her and give her the ksuba, no problem. Omar Zevi Gersha, so the husband divorced her through borrowing the money from a student. An evil student went and married this Isha. Now, the former husband owed him the money. Come payday, come due date, he had no money to pay him back. So the student tells the teacher, okay, work for me instead. Be my slave, work for me instead of paying me the funds. Unbelievable. The student and his new wife were sitting and enjoying, eating and drinking, and he was serving them. Her former husband, and he felt terrible. And tears were trickling down from his eyes, and dripping into their glasses as he was serving them. And this was the straw that broke the camel's back. Hashem decreed that the Beis Hamikdash will be destroyed. But Amrila, some say it was on account of a different story. Two wicks drawing from one lamp. Rashi says a reference to two men getting involved with one woman, with a married woman. On account of that avera, that brought about the Churban Beis Hamikdash. Shibonim Beis Hamikdash Meir B'Meinu. Continues the Gemara, Lokach Manasek Rikun. Sikrikin, as we learned in the Mishnah, means so karka zubanichini. It's a combined word. A fellow's life was being threatened by the guy. He says, look, take this land instead. So the Mishnah says, well, you know, when things were really violent, it was a time of desperation, time of Muhammad, then in fact, it's considered a legal transfer of ownership. But otherwise, even if a farmer is being forced off his land, he's not really willingly giving it away. And he plans on utilizing all his means, legal means, to reacquire his karka. And therefore, if a person, another yid, goes and chooses to buy that land off the robber, off the sikrikan, it's not a valid deal. Unless he first approaches the owner, the true owner, and says, look, you know, I'd like to buy your land. You're anyways not using it. It's sitting in the other person's possession. And the owner says, okay, let's make a deal. He sells it to him. Then the buyer goes to the sikrikan, to the robber, and confirms the deal, pays him whatever it is, and takes it. Then it works. But if it's done in the reverse, let's say we have the owner, let's call him Chaim, own the field. And now the guy forced him off the field, and Reuven, a new potential buyer, walks over to the Sikrikan, buys it off him, of course at a discount, because Sikrikan's willing to give it away cheap. He buys it from him, and then he returns to Chaim, says, you know what, I'd like to confirm that deal. Would you be okay going along with it? Sure. Doesn't work. You know why? Because perhaps he's being blackmailed, he's being pressured. He's afraid to oppose the Sikrikan, lest he come attack him. So the fact that he's going along with it is no indication that he's really interested in confirming the deal. That's the point of the Gemara now. Amar Rav Leishonu, when do we say that it doesn't work? That the Mekach is batel. Elo de Amar Leilich Chazek V'kni. It's only when Mechaim, the owner, tells Reuven, the fellow who bought from the Sikrikan, look, go ahead and Leich Chazek V'kni. Take the field, gazin to hate, make your chazaka, use it. Then we say it's meaningless, because perhaps, as Rashi explains, perhaps he still plans on getting it back. Al b'shtar kona. But if the former owner, Chaim, actually writes a shtar to formally record this transfer of ownership to Reuven, Kana. Reuven is a new owner, because he wouldn't go to that extent to write him a shtar unless he really is okay with this whole deal. Even with a shtar, it doesn't mean anything. Only time that has any meaning is if Chaim adds the warranty wording, the warranty clause into the shtar. I'm backing up the sale, I'm guaranteeing it, if anything happens, I'll compensate you. That's going a bit far. And that is truly indicative of the fact that Chaim is fully consensual to this deal. Tanakh, if I say to Shmuel, we seem to have a braisa which supports Shmuel, that shtar enough is not sufficient. Shtar alone is not sufficient. You need achrayis. Rabbi Shimon Leil Omer, lokech mane isha. This is another example, which the Mishnah mentioned as well. So we have a field which is specifically designated and committed to the wife, husband and wife, married husband and wife. So you have a field which is dedicated to the ksuba payout, which is committed to the ksuba payout. Basically means she can draw from this field if she needs to. And somebody decided to buy the field off the husband. So it depends. Lakach b'nei isha v'chazav lakach b'nei ish. He first purchased it from the isha, and then he went to the husband. She's not under any pressure. She did it by her own volition. Right? Mikhakayim, it's a valid deal. But in the reverse, it doesn't work. Mina ish. He first purchased it from the husband. And then he went to the wife and said, by the way, your husband already sold me the field. Are you okay with it? Maybe she's trying to be a good wife and cooperate. It's not a valid deal. Mina ish v'chazav lakach b'nei isha mikhay batel. Unless she went all out to formalize the sale. Acha tichtav le'achrayis. She writes achrayis. That is indicative of her interest to have this thing transferred to the new buyer. That's right, to Shmuel. Shtar alone is not enough unless it has achrayis to indicate his true intention. Name to Yahweh, chief to the Rav. So perhaps this Bryce contradicts Rav, who holds that shtar is sufficient. No, Amalek Rav. Rav will tell you, my achrayis. Nami shtar, when it says achrayis, that's all it means. It means a regular shtar indicating his consent, even without the words achrayis, even without actually backing up the deal, if anything happens, I'm compensating you for it. You don't need that achrayis. Shtar alone is enough, and why does the braisa relate to a simple shtar by calling it achrayis? Because that guarantees that I can't complain about it. I can't come after you and say, well, the whole thing was just a show. The fact that I went and I wrote your shtar indicates that I'm confirming the deal. Continues the Gemara. Tanur Rabbanan, we learned in the Braisa. So, as we mentioned, at times, Reuven's purchase of this field from the Sakrikin is a valid deal. For instance, if the owner, we call him Chaim, he confirmed the deal. Or in a case where he's disinterested in buying off the field, or as the Mishnah concluded in the times of Rebbe HaKadosh, they have concluded, they established a new system. It's a 12-month window. So past 12 months, in the hands of the Sakrikun, in which the owner didn't make a move, we allow anybody to purchase that field. But again, the Mishnah says, it only works provided you're being fair. You have to go and give 25% back to the owner, to Chaim, presumably the robber sold it at a discount, since he got it for free. So that money that you've saved, be fair to the owner and reimburse him for that amount. Tanur Rabbanan, lokach mis hasikrikun v'achla shaloishanim b'fnei balam. Suppose this fellow Reuven buys the field off the sikrikun in a valid manner and sits there for 3 years farming the field as a farmer does, consuming the produce with the former owner's full awareness that he's there. And the halacha is, we learned this in Bava Basra, once you have 3 years on that property, it's called a chazaka, cheskas shalosh shanim. So even if you have no document to prove anything, well, how long am I going to keep my receipts? I'm here 3 years and not a boo from you. I no longer have to prove my case. So in this case, he wouldn't have to prove that he, in fact, reimbursed the owner with that 25%. So lokach min hasikrikin v'achla shalosh shanim b'fnei balam v'chazav machar la'achar, and then Reuven sells it to another person, sells it off to Shimon. Ein la'balam al lekeach sheni klum. the former owner, Chaim, can come challenge Shimon. What happened to my 25%? It was never looked after. I deserve the fail back. He can't do that. Because once there was a chazok of Shalish Shanim without any complaints from anybody, presumably things were followed properly, procedure was done, and everybody was looked after. Asks the Gemara, Heichi Dami. What exactly is the response? What is the other person saying to the owner? Is he responding by saying, Minach Zavna? Shimon is saying, look, I know for a fact that Reuben, who sold me the field, went back to you and took care of everything with you. He compensated you as per the halachis. I know that for a fact. Well, if that's what he's claiming, Afilu Rishay Nami, then the same halach would apply to Reuben himself. When confronted by Chaim, the owner, where's my field? Well, I looked after it. I gave you the 25%. We took care of everything. So why are we relating this halacha to a new buyer, to Shimon? It would apply to Reuben as well. He claims as such to Chaim. Now, if Shimon has no clue, he's not claiming to know that Reuben, the fellow who sold the field to him, actually looked after Chaim properly and bought it off of Chaim. Well, so then, even if it's now in the hands of Shimon, he has no claim. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Sheshes, Lo Yilamid Loika Etoin Lo. Truthfully, Shimon is not responding. He has no idea. All he knows is he got it from Reuben. The history? He has no idea. This is an example of the halacha Toyanen Lo Yerush. Toyanen Lo Keyach. Once a fellow sits on a field, uses a property for 3 full years without any complaints coming from anybody, then he, let's say he passes it on to his Yerush, or in this case, to a Lekech, to a new owner. We advocate for him. We say, look, everything was quiet as can be. Apparently, everything was looked after properly. You can't come and, you know, challenge his ownership. So that's when it comes to a new Lekech, who has no clue what Reuben did with the field. That applies to a Yerush as well. I have no idea what my father did. But typically, but regarding the other person, in this case, meaning Reuben, who claims to have looked after the field properly in terms of pacifying Chaim and paying him off properly, in that case, we don't just advocate for him. We ask him and see what he says. Itoin, if he responds unequivocally, look, I purchased a field from Chaim, I gave him his 25%, I took care of everything. Okay, he's safe. But if he doesn't have any claims, then, sitting in a field for 20 years doesn't mean ownership. And therefore, unless he actually claims it as such, we don't accept it. And we don't consider him the owner. Continues the Gemara. So again, in some cases, one may purchase a land from a Sikrikun. And it's a valid deal. Either in a case where the owner confirmed the deal, or he showed disinterest in repurchasing his land, or, as the Mishnah concludes, in the name of Rabbi HaKadosh, they instituted the Yud Beis Chodesh formula. So 12 months have passed without any indication, any move on account of Chaim, the owner, that he intends on rebuying his field. Anybody can approach the Sikrikan, buy it. But he must give a quarter, 25% of the sale price back to the owner. We're assuming the robber who got the field for nothing is going to sell it at a discount. So that much, that 25% that you've gained, be fair and compensate the owner. Tana Rabbanan. But in the following cases, Haba Machmas Choyv, let's say the guy grabbed the Jewish farm on account of a debt that the Jew owes the guy, or Machmas Amparis, or just for no good reason. Amparis stands for Ein Poiraya. Absolutely no reason, no justification for grabbing the field. In this case, even if 12 months have passed and Chaim hasn't made a move, it doesn't mean he's giving up on it. He'll pull him to court one day. He's in no rush. He'll take his time, but eventually he'll get his field back. And therefore, you have no right to buy the field from the guy, as opposed to the Sikrikan in our Mishnah, where he threatened the Yid and he forced him off the field. was more of a violent situation, so the Yidah is fearful of the guy. In this case, we say, look, if 12 months have passed and you have made no move to retake that field, that's a raya that you're just giving up on it. You're intimidated, and you're not going to ever try to get it back, and therefore at least let somebody else have a chance to rebuy that field. At this point, it would seem that the Braisa is saying that even this Anpari situation, where he took it for no good reason, once 12 months pass, you're allowed to buy it. Asks the Gemara, you've just told me not so. You've told me that the whole idea of Sekrikin doesn't apply to this case of Anpuris. Hachikamar, well, it's exactly what the Mishnah means to say. The Braisa is just going back to Sekrikin now. True, in these cases of Chayv and Anpuris, we don't apply Sekrikin. There's no, you know, window of opportunity. Let him take his time. Eventually he'll get his field back. You have no right to buy it. But Sekrikin Atzma, Hachikamar, Sekrikin Atzma, your classic Sekrikin case, where you threaten them off the field. Sricha Shatisha, you base Chayv in that case. You have to allow 12 months to pass for you to go ahead and approach the Sekrikin and buy it. Otherwise, the owner can reclaim it as his. Amrav Yosef, Naktinan in a Paris be bubble. We have a Kabbalah. Then in bubble, we don't run into these, you know, forced expropriations. They don't steal fields. What do you mean? We see all the time that the guy can do that. He means to say, Ein din Anpuris b'bubble. If this Anpuris situation, what happened in bubble, we can't apply the halacha. Meaning, if somebody would buy the field off the guy, it's rightfully his. We don't take it away from him, free of charge. As opposed to in other lands that we do that. My time, a wise bubble different. Given the ikabe davar, since we have authorities, where they deliver the mail, you know, city hall, the mayor, every town has its authority. Veloy ozel of a couple, and the owner hasn't gone and complained, hasn't lodged a police complaint against this robber. Why don't you do that? Ema, that indicates to us that achul liachul, that perhaps he's giving up. Mimaychul. This field is not worth the effort, and he's giving up on it. And therefore, we allow anybody to purchase it from the guy, and it's legally his. We have another story involving Gidl. Bar Ra'iloi, that was his name. Kabul Arab Atasko, Yunei Baga. So Rashi explains in great detail the way their tax system worked. So Baga is a valley with a bunch of fields. So the Bnei Baga, these villagers, had an annual, you know, land tax. That was a taska. Taska sounds like tax. So it was an annual tax that they would have to pay to the government. And they would split it amongst themselves. Each person, each farmer, got his portion of the tax. One of these farmers gets up one day and walks away. Who's going to pay the taxes pertaining to his portion, to his land? There's nobody there. So Gidl Bar Eloi accepted upon himself. He's going to farm the land, even though he's not really the owner, but he's going to pay the taxes and use the land. That was the agreement that he made with the villagers, with the Bnei Bag. Kabul Ara Betaska, he took possession of a certain land on account of the taxes that he was going to pay, property taxes for that land. Agdim B'yoyv Zuzi Tlashnin, he was very conscientious, and he paid ahead, 3 years ahead. Asayif Asamar Vasa Kamoy, a year later, suddenly the owner shows up. The owner of that field. Armulei Salim, tell Mr. Gidl, look, I appreciate your efforts. Shata Kamaisa, do you have us? Well, year number one, which you had paid the taxes for, Achlas, you've consumed the produce. Okay, you've gotten what you deserved. Gesundheit, fair deal. You paid, you earned. Hashta, but going forward, Anon Yavien, Anon Achlin, we're willing to pay the taxes. We're back. We're back in town. We'll pay the taxes and we'll consume the produce. You have no right to sit on the field. Who asked you to pay ahead? And apparently that was their system. You didn't get credit for paying ahead. The owner shows up. Now it's his responsibility. So what's the halacha? Can Gidl reclaim his extra money? Also, look at Rav Papa. So they brought the fight to Rav Papa. Savra l'michtav le'tirf avnei baga. Rav Papa figured Gidl is in the right. He's going to get a document enabling him to collect some land on account of the debt owed to him. How can you do that? You're basically applying to him the din of sikrika. Right? The Mishnah we learned that in some cases, a fellow buys from the sikrikan, he earns the field. We don't make him lose the field, except for the 25% that he has to pay back, but otherwise, it's a deal. He bought the field off the guy, it's his, here as well. He purchased the usage rights of this field for the next 3 years. And basically, Rav Huna was not happy with this comparison to Sikrikan. In Sikrikan, look, there's no alternative. It's either you buy it or you leave it. He bought it, it's his. But here, who asked him to pay 3 years ahead? Right? It's an annual tax. He was extra conscientious, and he paid ahead. That's his issue. That doesn't give him rights in the fields for the next year. Ella Amar Rav Huna Bar Rav Yeshua. Rather, says Rav Huna, he loses. He took a risk. It's like putting a bag of coins on the horns of a deer who takes off never to be seen again. Who asked you to lay out this money? You took a risk. You took a gamble. And now the gamble worked against you. And the real owner, the rightful owner, has a right to get back his field. Zu Mishnah Rishoyna, Bezden, Shalach Rein Amru, Halakech Nasikriku, Noisin Labal Marvia, as we learned in Mishnah, ultimately the Bezden decided that if the owner is not coming to retake his field, you can buy it, but just give him some compensation. A quarter. We have two ways to understand the word quarter. Amar Rav, Revia Bekarka, or Revia Bemois. According to Rav, how much was this discount? 20%, a fifth. So, for instance, let's just keep it simple. You bought the field for $100. It's really worth $125. So you've gained $25. So that much should be given back to Chaim, the former owner. Revia Bekarka. So basically, it's a quarter of the amount that you paid for it. You paid $100. $25 of that is your discount. And you return that to the owner, either in Karka form, piece of land worth that much, or Revia Bemois, or in money form. All depends on how the owner wants to take it. Basically, according to Rav, we assumed it was a 20% discount. Shmuel disagrees. We assumed it was a 25% discount. So, for instance, if he paid $100 for it, it was really worth 133 and a third. Right? That's why you got it for 100, which is a quarter less of its real value. And that much has to be returned to the owner. Shmuel Omar. Revia Bakaka. You have to return a quarter of the actual field that you bought. You bought it for 100. It was really worth 133 and a third. Right? You have to give back 33 and a third. And if this field is worth 133 and a third, so how do you return 33 and a third? A quarter of this field is worth 33. And that's how much you give back to the owner. Shehin shlish b'mois, which corresponds, right, it corresponds to a third of the amount that you paid for the field. You paid 100. 33 and a third is a third of that. My kemifliki, what's the machlokes about? As we explained, mar sovar nechi riv via zavin. According to Shmuel, we assume you bought it for a quarter less than it's worth. Or mar sovar nechi chumsha zavin. He dropped a fifth. It was a 20% discount. Meisve we have a kasha on Shmuel. Zu Mishnah Rishayna. So again, we go back to the idea of Sikrikan. It was the former version of things. Bezen Shachareim Amru, but ultimately they decided, Akech Min Sikrikan, you buy from the Sikrikan, Oysen Bal Marvia, you can buy it, but you have to give him back a quarter. Yad Balam El Yoinan, of course, the owner has the right to choose which way he wants to be compensated, Ratzu. The Karka, Noitlin, Ratzu Bemois, Noitlin, if they want to take a piece of land, that works. If they want to accept money, money works. E Masai. When do we allow anybody to buy from the Sikrikan? When the owner has no ability to rebuy his field. But if the owner wants to buy his field back, Hein Koyd Mechol Adam, they have first rights. However, Rebbe Hoshib Bezdin Benimnu, Rebbe established his Bezdin, they took account, they established the Halacha, Shem Shasa, B'pnei Sekrikun Shem HaSachodesh, once 12 months pass, in the hands of Sekrikun, and the owner hasn't made a move, Kol HaKoydim Likach Socha, anybody can come buy it. But once again, we apply the 25% formula, Avanoisin Lebalm Reviyah, B'karka, Reviyah B'mois. However, the fellow has to compensate the owner by giving him revia, a quarter of the purchase price, either by giving it through karka, revia bakaka, or revia, or you could give that same amount of mois using money. This sounds like Rav. You bought it for 100, you have to return $25. Apparently, because you got it at a 20% discount. You paid 100 instead of 125. Amar Rav Ashi, that's not a kasha on Shmuel. Kintanya ahi, la'achar shebo mois liyode. When the Mishnah says that you return a quarter, it means a quarter of the total amount. So basically, according to Shmuel, you bought it for 100. You have to return 33 and a third. After you give back the 33 and a third, back to the owner, that amount, 33 and a third, amounts to a quarter of the total amount. If you add the purchase price of 100 to this amount of 33 and a third that was returned to the owner, so we have a total of 133 and a third, and 33 and a third is a quarter of the total amount. So if you combine the amount that he gave to the guy and the amount that he gave back to the owner, so this amount of 33 is really a third of the total amount. So in effect, it can work out very well according to Shmuel as well. Shmuel, who held that you have to return 33 and a third, and again the reason was because we assumed the 100 that you paid was at a 25% discount, with the real value being 133 and a third, and that corresponds to the Brisa as well. Amar Rav, referring back to Rebbe's Takana, Rebbe said his best in them, and they concluded that we have to apply the 12-month rule. Ano havoi b'minyana de Rebbe. So Rav says, I was there when they made this psak. They concluded, they took this vote, they took this count in the bezin of Rebbe. U'minoi didi manuberation. Actually, I was the first one they asked. They asked my opinion first. And Rebbe wasn't the most important or the least important in the bezin. And Rashi has one shot that he was the youngest, he was the least prominent member of the Bezdin. In any case, it started the count from me. Really? Vanantana, we have a Mishnah Dini Mammainois, Vataris Vatumois. When it comes to financial matters in a Bezdin, when it comes to a question of Tuma Vatahara, Maschilim Nagadl, we start from the most prominent member of the Bezdin. But then in a Fashis, but when it comes to capital questions, capital punishment, judgments, Maschilim Natsah, then we start from the Tzad, which Rashi explains is not the most prominent member or the least prominent member. What's the difference? Rashi explains when it comes to Dine Nefashos, if they would start with the Av Bezdin and hear his opinion first, nobody would dare challenge him. It's uncomfortable. It's not respectful, perhaps. They don't feel comfortable challenging him, and then you're running into issues because when it comes to Dine Nefashos, you have to try to vie for schus, to find him innocent. Therefore, when it comes to Dine Nefashos, we're careful not to listen to the opinion of the most prominent member first. But when it comes to other halachas, we don't hesitate to do that. We have no problem going to the Reish Bezdin. So the question is, when it came to this halacha of Sikrikan, which doesn't qualify as dinin nefashos, why did they start from Rav, as opposed to Rebbe, who presumably was the biggest one there? Amar Rava, Braid Rava, Vitema Samseir of Hilobay Ravala, Shani Minyona de Rebbe. In Rebbe's Bezdin, it was totally different. The Kula Minyonayu, every time they took count, Minatzad Havamaschilim, they would do it this way. They would go to the younger ones. And Tosfos says, it was an expression of anova, of humility on account of Rebbe. So that's why Rav was the first one approached for his opinion. Okay, in summation, we started with some references to the Bnei Tzion, to the Yofi of Bnei Tzion. We had the story of Rabbi Shimon ben Hananya, who ransomed this boy who turned out to be a Moreh Hara. He was able to appreciate his potential. That's why he made a great effort to get him out. We had the story of the Bnei Ubitoy of Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol. We had the story of this gangster manipulator who brought about the Gzar Din on the Churban. And we discussed the Halachos V'Sakrikan. Typically, we let the owner rebuy his field, but in some cases, even a stranger can buy the field from a Sakrikan. The owner confirms it. If the owner is disinterested, or if 12 months have passed and there is no move on account of the owner, anybody can approach the Sakrikan and buy it off. But be fair to the owner, give him what you gained. We have Rav Shita, 20% discount, and Shmuel Shita, it requires a compensation of 25% as per your gain. And we learned about the Anava of Rebbe, who instituted that Takana. All the best to you, and Atzlacha Rabbah.